The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome. As many of you know, of loving kindness in the Buddhist practice, it's a unconditional and boundless goodwill, warmth, and care that extends in all directions towards everybody, all living beings. And of course, to have some of this type of love, this type of goodwill that extends in all these directions, requires training. Of course, we have preferences and people push our buttons or we feel uncomfortable around or whatever reason it might be. But the practice is to help us to discover this boundless, in all directions, unconditional love and goodwill. To bring a sense of friendliness to all things, all beings, and all circumstances. So this means that with a practice of loving kindness, or with the intention of loving kindness, we can turn toward dear ones, those for whom it's easy to feel love and goodwill. We can turn towards ourselves, of course. We can turn towards neutral people, people that we don't know or that we're indifferent towards, don't really have any particular relationship with. And we can even turn towards those individuals who are difficult for us. And turn towards them with a heart of unconditional love. But it also means that we turn towards our mind states, our emotions, our thoughts, our body. We don't exclude anything, anybody. Sometimes when we do loving kindness practice or we do any practice, we often exclude ourselves, like may all beings be happy, and we're thinking like everybody out there. But it includes ourselves, all aspects of ourselves. But of course this is a practice. We start where we are. Sometimes the practice is easy. Sometimes it feels dry and lackluster. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes the last thing we want to do is be thinking about goodwill. Or maybe we just don't have access to feelings of goodwill. It is possible, though. It is possible to expand our capacity or capability for this boundless, unconditional love and care and goodwill. And as part of this practice, we repeat phrases to ourselves. As many of you know, we've been doing this practice. I'll guide us in this in just a moment. But when we're doing this, repeating these phrases or practicing loving kindness in any other way that may be familiar to us, the practice is not an effort to convince ourselves of something. We're not trying to like brainwash ourselves with saying these phrases or anything like that. Instead, it's not an effort to pretend or it's not an effort to demand that something happen. Instead, it's about maybe two things. One is maybe just creating the conditions in which our perceptions can shift. We don't have to make them shift. They just start to, maybe we start to loosen one particular perception that this is a big problem, that person is a terrible person, whatever it might be. As that perception, that idea starts to shift, then, or loosen or soften, then something else might arise. Something else that has a little bit more spaciousness, a little more ease, a little more flavor of goodwill in it. So when we're practicing, part of the reason, or one of the ways in which this practice works, is our perceptions start to shift. And a second way is that perhaps with the quieting of the mind and this intention of goodwill, and here we're practicing in community, maybe it helps us to tap into something inside of us, some goodness. Maybe it's something that we remember from our childhoods, or maybe it's something that we tap into only on certain occasions. But here we're just maybe creating the conditions in which we can dip into and drink from this something that's already inside of us. And in the same way, the practice of loving kindness is—it's not a form of positive thinking. We're not trying to just convince ourselves that something is true. Or instead, when we're saying the phrases and doing practices for loving kindness, we're stepping away. We're turning away from fear. And fear often is underlying a lot of our difficulties, a lot of kind of when we feel uncomfortable around people, when we feel uncomfortable with what's happening with ourselves, not always, but fear is often a part of it. So part of the way that loving kindness practice works is that we're turning away from fear, we're turning away from some self preoccupation, and instead we're trying, as I said, creating the conditions for cultivating goodwill, warmth, love, kindness. So it's not magical how this works, how loving kindness works, but it does work in terms of setting the intention to have a different perspective, setting the intention to tap into something that's good and wholesome and nourishing inside of ourselves. So rather than perhaps abandoning ourselves or running away from or turning away from whatever might be difficult, with loving kindness practice, we find that it's easier and easier to turn towards difficult people, difficult ideas, difficult experiences. We're increasing our capacity to shift our perception, to have access to some goodness that's inside of us. In some ways, we might be, with loving kindness practice, reclaiming something that we've cast aside. Maybe we thought at a certain time in our life we were dismissive or didn't cultivate, or somehow we felt injured for whatever reason. We don't know what reason necessarily. But maybe we've cast aside that part of goodness or that wish for goodness, the wish, the love that we have for ourselves, we have for others. We're just becoming reacquainted with that. So if with loving kindness practice, as I mentioned, we do phrases as a way to help the mind have an anchor on which we're going to cultivate this sense of goodwill and loving kindness and warmth. So that's one aspect of loving kindness practice. The second aspect is to have an idea of an individual or a group of individuals. I'm going to lead us for individuals for which to send this loving kindness. You can do loving kindness practice without this. You could just do it just by cultivating this feeling of warmth in your heart. But I'm going to lead us tonight, as I often do for those of you who've been here before, with starting with where it's easy. Where it's easy. Where does our heart naturally soften and warm? What, when we bring to mind, causes a good feeling? Sometimes we use the expression benefactor, and kind of in the classical teachings they use this language, somebody for whom has clearly helped us, supported us, maybe loved us in a way that we feel so much appreciation, and it's easy for us to love and appreciate them. But it doesn't have to be a benefactor per se. It can just be a lovable being. Somebody we may or may not have a relationship with, but somebody for whom our heart softens, or there's warmth in the belly, or however you might experience it. And of course, it doesn't have to be another human being. This morning, I was looking at images for something else, and it came across these images of these kittens. Oh my gosh, they were so cute. And I had this thing, oh, okay, I'm going to use that this afternoon for loving kindness practice. You know, sometimes I just stumbled upon it, and I just found myself like, oh, wow, that is cute. So I'm one of those people who likes little kittens. So I'll be practicing with them a little bit today. So we'll start where it's easy, and we'll, by bringing to mind. And when I say bring to mind, I mean like you can visualize, but the visualization doesn't have to be crystal clear. It's maybe, it can be a foggy sense of whatever this being is. We don't have to strain to make it clear. It's more just to support us in cultivating this feeling of loving kindness. So that's the second element. First was the phrases. Second is bringing to mind the being for whom we're wishing loving kindness. And then the third is to use the body as a support. I've been talking about warmth in the belly and softening of the heart. This might make sense for you and be relevant. For some people, they don't have quite such a connection and it's not so clear to them. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. If you do have access to it, it can be helpful sometimes to dip into that and allow it to support you and nourish you. So we'll start where it's easy this evening, and then we'll move on to ourselves, because of course we deserve loving kindness practice, just like everybody else, right? Sometimes it can be difficult to have loving kindness for ourselves, and we do need to practice it. And then, as I've been doing on some of the preceding weeks, we'll do a little bit of equanimity practice, where we'll bring to mind somebody from which there's a little stickiness, not the most difficult person. There's no need to work where it's really, really difficult. We just build up our capacity. So a relationship in which there's a little bit of stickiness, a little bit of uneasiness. And I'll talk more about that as we get there. So with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. And let's start with three long, slow, deep breaths. We do this, sometimes it's helpful to exaggerate the breath to help us connect with it and connect with the body. Sometimes also with a big exhale that comes after a big inhale, there can be a certain amount of letting go, softening, relaxing. And as I mentioned earlier, before I turned the recording on, we don't want to have a painful posture or be sitting in a way that's really uncomfortable. So it can be helpful to do just a general scan of the body. Is there a way that we can adjust our posture or sit a little bit differently that will allow us to sit comfortably while we're doing the meditation? I along those lines, we can check in and see if there are some obvious places of tension in the body. Not that we have to make them go away or force anything, but sometimes just our bringing awareness to areas of the body, just the recognition that there's some tightness or tension, some contraction, just the recognition is sufficient for there to be a certain amount of softening. Common place to hold tension is around the eyes, the jaw, the shoulders. Can the shoulder blades slide down the back? The back. Sitting with some uprightness, alertness, and yet with some ease, finding the balance. The chest, maybe it can be just a tiny bit opener, more open. The belly, allow the belly to relax. You can feel the support of the chair against your body and trust that gravity is holding you. Allow yourself to be supported. Can there be a bit more ease in the legs? And feeling the feet on the ground, also feeling supported and grounded here. And the arms and the hands. Then we'll start with mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. So just very simply bring your attention to the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or the sensations of feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Choose whichever area feels the most accessible, the most supportive, the most vivid, one that feels easy and comfortable. Right now, there isn't anything else to do. Just very simply rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing. It wouldn't be surprising if you found yourself lost in thought. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just very gently, simply, return to the sensations of breathing. it's likely that you spent all day thinking. So it wouldn't be surprising if you were lost in thought. Just begin again with the sensations of breathing. See if you can give yourself over to the sensations of breathing. There's nothing else to do, nowhere else to be. We're just here, now. So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can always be a practice you can return to. If you feel overwhelmed or confused or lost or for whatever reason, you can always come back to this, just simply feeling the sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness practice can bring to mind a lovable being. Again, a being for whom it's easy to feel warmth or care, love, respect, kindness. And bring them to mind in whatever way makes sense for you. You might check in with the body and see, is there a softening or a warmth somehow, in some kind of way? Sometimes people might feel something in the heart center, on the chest, or maybe in the belly. As I said earlier, it's perfectly fine if there isn't. And if there is, you can use that to help support your practice. And then you can repeat silently to yourself after me. And we'll use these phrases to support our intention to be cultivating loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Might want to sense into your body and see if there is a little corner of warmth or well-being or openness, softness, spaciousness. And if so, allowing that to be there, allowing it to get as big as it would like. And a reminder that we don't have to use these precise words. You're welcome to modify the phrases in a way that seem meaningful for you, that touch your heart. And again, bringing the lovable being to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit, so you can practice at your own pace, maybe using different phrases. Now we can build on this foundation of loving kindness. Just expand the sphere, expand the circle to include ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness. So in the same way, you can bring a sense of yourself to mind. It can either be visualizing how you are today, or maybe a younger version of yourself, if you find that easier. Some people even do themselves when they were children. Or perhaps it's easier to tap into like the felt sense. What does it feel like to be here right now? So rather than a visualization, it's more of a sensing in some way. Whichever feels the easiest for you, the most accessible. Again, we don't want to struggle with this. It can be helpful to dip into the body again or sense the body and allowing any feelings of warmth or spaciousness to support you. And then we just slightly modify the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit. And then to expand our loving kindness practice, we'll include a little bit of equanimity practice. How to help us stay balanced, help us see the bigger picture in some of our interactions with others, So you can bring to mind somebody with whom you have a little bit of difficulty, not the most difficult person. Just a little uncomfortableness. As I said earlier, maybe some stickiness in some way. Your interactions maybe are not as clear or clean as you would like. And having this person in mind, we can say different phrases that help support us in having equanimity. Help us support us in the practice of having unconditional and boundless loving kindness. So this phrase is, I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. You can sense into the body and see how it feels to be making these statements. Allow the feeling to be of support. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. Then I'll be silent here for a bit. You can continue with this practice. Maybe return to loving kindness practice. Whichever feels like the right thing right now. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So in this way, kind of as I introduced at the beginning, we practice loving kindness as a way to kind of cultivate the mind, incline the mind to go a particular way. And with that inclination of the mind, then maybe there our perceptions can shift, or we can feel, tap into some goodness, some happiness that we have, and then this wish to share it. And the wish for others to have that as well. And at the end, I included some equanimity practices. I'm discovering that some equanimity practices kind of helps us to feel a little bit more balanced, as opposed to sometimes there can be like, oh, everybody should be happy, or I should be happy. There's kind of like should sometimes can slip in there a little bit. And this is, even though the phrases are designed for one, the equanimity phrases for one particular situation, it kind of just cultivates a sense of balance, and that sense of balance can be used for other situations. It just helps bring us closer to center if there was some inclination of wanting to force things or make things happen or having some reactions when things aren't the way we think they should be. So now I'd love to hear from you. Are there any questions or comments about the practice? And we'll use the microphone. Some of us are using hearing-assisted devices just so everybody can hear. Microphone is closest to you, so I think this is it's a sign. Thank you. You have to turn it on. Is there a green light?
Yeah.
There we go.
I had this like a welling up of emotion. And I actually started to cry, and I haven't done that in a really long time. But I was overcome with gratitude.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, right? There's going to be some real poignancy. There's some real beauty when we allow some of this beautiful stuff inside of us to come out. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Not to say that there's only beautiful stuff inside of us too. It's not uncommon for people to have the opposite experience, that when we're creating the conditions for loving kindness, and then everything except loving kindness arises, like the opposite of loving kindness arises. That's not so uncommon actually. It's kind of the mind starts to say, like, but wait, there was that time when I wasn't kind, and there was that time that person wasn't kind to me. And we start to kind of get a flood and start to feel, we don't feel loving kindness. But that's okay. It's all part of the practice. This is part of the practice, the way that works. Somehow there's a type of cleansing of whatever's getting in the way. And we don't get to choose how that works. We don't get to choose the pace, the timing, the when. Sometimes we're filled with beautiful, warm feelings, and sometimes we have difficult feelings. That's partly why I like to start with a little bit of mindfulness. If sometimes there is feelings of difficulties or things that feel overwhelming, that you can, if it feels like it would be supportive, to come back to the sensations of breathing and use them as a way to kind of get grounded again. Don't have to do that. It's just a tool that might be helpful sometimes.
I'm new at this, but the few times that I've tried this practice, a lot of worry comes in for the people that I love most. So is that a time that I should go back to mindfulness? Because I can't get out of it. I can't. I just wish it so much, but I'm worried that my wish won't come true.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's serving a purpose? It's useful? It's helpful to get in touch with that and to feel it? Or do you feel like you're feeling a little stuck? Or
I think I already feel it a lot, so maybe not. I don't need to feel it more.
Yeah, then it might be helpful to then to come back to the mindfulness of breathing, and not like that you have to shove away or, you know, push away whatever the worry that you have. You can just allow it to be there, but also bring your attention to the sensations of breathing, and then just allow the worry to do whatever it's going to do. Maybe it'll get worse and then pass away, or maybe it'll diminish, maybe it'll stay exactly the same. But it's easy to sometimes to get stuck, and then we spin out into stories, and then we start thinking about all the terrible things that have happened or will happen, and then we really bind ourselves up. So if you find it doesn't feel like it's being useful or supportive, then yeah, go ahead and try that. And or you can maybe choose a benefactor or a lovable being, one that's a little bit easier. That is, might be somebody that you don't know quite so well, a religious figure or an admirable figure, a historical figure, something like somebody for whom you want to send loving kindness, but isn't, you're not quite as, I don't know what the word is, but you know.
No, I understand. I think that's the easiest for me.
Yeah.
Someone that I don't know quite well.
Yeah. That's often, sometimes the instructions are really to know somebody that you don't really know well. For this very reason, it can slide into all kinds of different emotions if we have a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And here we just want to stay with what's easy. We're just trying to cultivate the heart. So, But often we don't know the people that aren't easy until we discover that they aren't easy. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments? Can you use the microphone?
Why is loving kindness like this metta? It's considered a concentration practice, which I don't. I would think it would be like an insight thing.
So a concentration practice because we're choosing an object and we're just coming back and back and back and back again. And that's essentially how concentration is. You kind of like exclude other things and are just focusing here. So there can be like a certain rhythm with the phrases and you can just actually get pretty concentrated. Some people can, not everybody, but some you can get concentrated with it. So, as opposed to mindfulness, where we tend to be right a little bit more open and to be noticing more things that are happening, you can get concentrated that way, but it's a little often easier to have this just one object and something about the rhythm and the phrases and the... Maybe I'll say one more thing, why concentration practice. For concentration, maybe it's not so obvious, but relaxation is so important for concentration. People tend to strive and want to focus and get concentrated, and then they don't. But often with loving kindness, there's some ease and a nice feeling, and that really supports concentration too. So, okay, so let's see here.